Do you mean that council was flying in the face of the voice of the people?
I'm afraid so.
Let us pray.
And hold her near when Sunny gets
exciting moment when we watched the old alums come back to Woodward for Founders Day. There were some profound words spoken that afternoon by loyal Woodwardites, both young and old.
The dream of William Woodward, though created in a different world, has met the challenge of change, and that is why it has lasted.
Our new bell ringer, incidentally, is from the class of 1898.
This was quite a surprise when I came today. I was greeted with, "Are you Miss Elsa Miller?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, Mr. Wingert's been looking for you all over." I said, "Well, here I am."
Roy Roberts brought honor to Woodward throughout the year by his victories in the many local and statewide speech contests. His crowning achievement was that of placing in the top five in oratorical declamation at the state finals at The Ohio State University with his interpretation of the famous sermon entitled The Creation.
"And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, 'I'm lonely. I'll make me a world.' And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke. The dark rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, 'That's good.'"
Bob Cable, earlier in the year, did equally as well at Boys Week. As in the past, we had some wonderful assemblies again this year. For example, remember some of these sounds from that assembly featuring the University of Pennsylvania Men's Glee Club.
"Nightfall at nightfall, be good fellows while you may, for tomorrow may bring sorrow, so tonight let's all be gay.
For its spring production, the Senior Drama Club offered the moving work of James Costigan, Little Moon of Auburn, starring Vicki Guten, Richard Morris, Chuck Meyer, Irv Fox, Leroy McCluskey, Chuck Johnson, Chuck Drexilius, Mike Blackman, and Sue Wilkinson.
"It was I who handed him the gun, and I promise you I will kill every last one of them, and that will be my act of contrition to my one true friend and my graduation present to you.
A gift of vengeance? What good is that to either of us? What good will that be to Dennis?"
"Look, I didn't expect your blessing."
"What is it you want of me, then?"
"I only wanted you to know."
"You must have hoped I'd talk you out of it."
"I didn't."
"Do you want me to fall down on my knees and beg you to spare them? And spare yourself the danger?"
"Look, you can go down on your knees to me if you like, and I'll understand the reason. But I'll be remembering the girl and you would be standing up, with no need for genuflecting, chatting, kill them. Kill them for what they did to me, lovely boy."
"That girl is dead."
"Is she? You're right then. I shouldn't have come. Forget that I did. Goodbye to you."
"Deus in adjutorium meam intende, Domine ad adjuvandum me festina, Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, Sigur erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Alleluia."
"Oh, sister, I've been meaning to ask you. Would it be all right, or, well, that is, would you be allowed to shake hands with a Protestant?"
"I begged 6 months ago."
"God, I never meant to make you cry. I do love you so terribly. You keep saying my name. It's like some absurd dream. I feel as though there's something I have to tell you, but I can't think what it is. shall never see you again, so I must leave it unsaid. What a time for me to run out of words. I'm going now. I don't want to shake your hand or say goodbye or anything of that sort. But you must know that in my heart, I kiss your mouth most humbly, gratefully.
Ernie Jarman came in second in the state in the Sons of the American Revolution Historical Speaking Contest. Here is an excerpt from his speech.
1765, the Quartering and Stamp Acts appeared, housing soldiers and taxing documents. 2 years later, the Townsend Acts precipitated, bringing the tariff to American ports. These controlling actions inspired American public opinion, which in turn manifested that deep concern for revolution. Perhaps it is best summarized by Thomas Paine when he proclaimed, "These are the times that try men's souls."
The Student Council presented a satire on life at Woodward as seen through the eyes of two old grads, played by Mark Silverstein and Roy Roberts.
Woodward life, oh yeah, Woodward life, oh.
Of Down in the Valley by the Woodward Ensemble. It starred Sheila Ferris and Mike Hamm. Barry Rosenfeld, Don Howes, Chuck Drexilius, and Steve Doherty, also gave support to the Anna Paul Lang production.
Was formed, and WFAE had to come from the office half of the year due to technical difficulties from the studio in B4.
We had Ice Age Day, Flood Day, Lace Stockings, Dickies, Bibs, Friendship Day, The Jerk, Ironed Hair, The Oracle, and even Sweatshirt Day.
And did you know John Hargis paid $4.50 for a haircut, and one of our gals even had her own pet termite. Cheryl Ann Dickey was made into a Christmas tree.
The Bulldog Barks was censored for the first time in its history. And did you know Mr. Aurier has 3 American flags in his room? Did you know that there is one teacher who likes to watch Peyton plays?
Somebody even stole Miss Kowski's coffin, and this was the first year both the Enquirer and the Post and Time Star covered Showcase. Kathy McNeil and Sandy Schaefer were runners-up in the Cincinnati Miss Teenage contest.
Why, this year, some students from Norwood tried to steal Woodward's own Mona Lisa. We even had an Atlas missile parked outside Woodward one morning. Did you know Susie Leapschutz went out with the Beach Boys?
And this was the year for big zippers, quilted mattress, and pierced earlobes.
We heard that Mr. Tyson canceled his first test since he began teaching.
The Winters in Dance cost Steve Hanley $20.
We even had a dinosaur roaming the rooftops of Woodward.
Woodward got rid of two well-established traditions, monitors and smoking. Woodward got two new tennis courts. No nets, just courts. No, this year wasn't just like any other year. Much has happened that will remain with us for many years to come. But it's about time to close this book of our lives. Our principal, Mr. Cleon Wingard, who has become endeared to the hearts of all that know him, will be leaving Woodward with us this year. It's hard to imagine what these old halls will be like without his broad smile and hearty pat on the shoulder. Perhaps you might have a few parting words for us at this time, Mr. Wingard.
My heart and mind are full as I attempt, somewhat informally, to sum up the events of the past year and of the past 6 years. Although I have left many things undone, I think I leave the school in reasonably good health. I have been proud to serve as Woodward's principal and extremely fortunate to succeed Wynton Muller. I am more sure than ever that Woodward has a vitally important part to play in the future of Cincinnati education. Whatever may have been accomplished is largely due to the work of an able and devoted faculty, wise and understanding parents. Graduates and students must share each such credit as may be deserved. To all these men and women, I express my most sincere thanks. And now, Godspeed to each one of you. I know that you will continue to give me reason to be proud of you.
And so, now it's goodbye to you, Mr. Wingard. Farewell to our teachers, classmates, and lastly, to you, Woodward. Well, it's never goodbye. A little lump in the throat, maybe. But we'll be back. After all, one never really leaves Woodward.
Ocean, ocean.